Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran along with my wife, Carrie, on this Faith and Family Friday program. Hey, Carrie.
Hey, Tom.
Carrie, thanks for being with me today. We're going to continue on our theme this Lent. We're going to talk about movies. We have a couple of movies that we're going to discuss that at least one of them is going to be a wonderful inspiration to you. I hope that you'll be able to watch that one. And then we'll also talk briefly about food. We have some smart tips, some little hacks to be able to eat out in a way that saves a bit of money, as well as talk about some family customs and traditions. Back in a minute.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com, drtomcurran.com.
Welcome back to the program. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord our God, thank you for the gift of Lent, for this Friday in Lent. And I ask, Lord, that you would bless us. I ask, Jesus, that you would bless those whom you have given to us as mothers and fathers. Today, I pray for the repose of the soul of my mom on her birthday. I ask, Lord, that you would truly give her that fullness of life in heaven. I thank you, Lord, for the way that you were faithful to her and that you drew her to yourself, even in the at the end of her life, Lord, through the trial that she underwent, the great work that you did to purify, heal, and prepare her to meet you. I do pray also for the repose of the soul of my dad, who died about 5 months ago, Jesus, that he would be truly resting with you in heaven. And if he's in purgatory, Lord, we do pray for a quick and complete cleansing and release into the fullness of heavenly life. And we make this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Father, and Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So that was, when I was looking at today's date on our program, I'm like, hey, wait a minute. That was my mom's birthday. Valentina Curran. And it's so interesting because she, I think one of the roles that she enjoyed most in her life was being a grandma, or as she was known, grandmother. And it's interesting because just earlier today, you were talking about, I don't quite understand what it means to be a grandmother. I think I've got some insights, but it had to do with like why women and men, right? They'll talk about the fundamental joy, the incomparable experience of being a grandparent. We don't have that yet. And trying to name it, like, what is it? What's at the essence of that?
I think what drew that reflection was you were referring to when our kids were all little and they were playing in the backyard on a spring morning. We would be watching them and just the joy and the innocence.
I'd be out there with them and watching them, but I'd also be with them. Come on now. In my memory, when they're younger, I'm out there. I'm out there right in the mix. But yes, watching them too.
All right. Let me explain. In the mornings, we would be sitting with our coffee, maybe a baby or two, and the rest would be out playing. In the afternoons, you would be with them. However,
good distinction.
I was reflecting on when you brought that memory up. It's a very heartfelt, like your heart feels joy and pain at the same time when you look back at a photo or a video of when our kids are younger.
When you look back.
Yes. When anybody, including me, looks back and it takes me back to a time where the innocence and the naivety, the purity of their heart and just who they are shows up so clearly and plainly because they have no ability to hide. And there's something about it that's just so precious and heartfelt. And it's as parents, I can now look and say, okay, I wish I would have done this. I wish I would have done that. Why didn't we? And then you can fill in the blank, because there are, you're always going to live with a certain level of regrets. I wish I would have loved more, sacrificed more, given more. And you can no longer do that, because now they're young adults or they're teenagers. And so you've lost all those precious moments of being with them, because it's gone. And I think that when grandkids come along, I think there's a way in which I would receive my grandkids as being in that stage of my children, of innocence, goodness, purity, just entrusting the those around them. And it would almost be a healing of the bad parenting I did. It'd almost be this time of, I can so much enjoy these little precious children that are related to us, but they're not ours by being parents, but they're our grandchildren. And yes, we're no longer responsible to have them do all the chores on Saturday morning and have them do their work and make sure they're cleaned and washed. And so I know grandparents will talk about all this sense of it, you're not responsible for them. There's that total freedom because they belong to your children. But also there's just an innocence and a purity to them that is missed in when your children were that age. And so I think there's some bit of recapturing the innocence. And
I was going to call it the great do-over.
Yeah, it's like a do-over in some respect. I don't know. I don't know how to bridge this experience of grandparents. I just know that it is very powerful. And I've yet to hear a grandparent really speak to what is the ache in the heart of a parent, that this is a balm. This is a healing moment. These are moments of that you treasure, but there's something more happening. And I don't know. I just, the only way I could capture it is when you said that this morning, or we were talking earlier about watching our kids up in the yard, and it just caught my heart, like it grabbed my heart and just like, oh, I forgot about those moments and they're so precious and they'll never come again. We'll never have that time in that way with them, but we'll have grandchildren.
Hey, we can adopt if you really want that. Like, it might be a good, is that a good enough reason to adopt a little baby?
Hey, God can use every kind of motive to further his kingdom.
I think, well, I love the insight. I don't have a lot to add to it.
Hey, I'm not even sure if that's the right thing to say because we don't have grandchildren. But yeah.
Well, I do know this. When I look at Christmas cards and posts from grandparents, from older people, they're principally highlighting the fact that they're grandparents, because the picture that is front and center or most prominent on their social media, their Christmas card is what? It's the picture of them with their grandchildren. Oh yeah, if the kids are there too, that's fine. But it's really about the grandchildren, and that's their my delight, you know. And they'll use all that kind of language of you know, my life is full or it's so abundant, and it's the grandparents holding little ones, and the other ones just kind of climbing all over them or all around them. So there's something there, and maybe again, it's one of those truths that we won't get it till we experience it.
Yeah, I was reading This Present Paradise with our book club, and there's a part in chapter 6 where she wants to be a nun. And that whole sense of, why am I here? What is my purpose? Reminds me of my dad and the catechism. God made you to know him, to love him, to serve him in this world, to be happy with him in the next. And just these basic catechetical answers to questions. And in it, she writes, how much pain could we save ourselves if we could embrace and live the reason of our existence? It is not success or money or even a legacy. It is, in a word, love. We are created out of love, in love, and for our love. And what struck me about that quote was, we're not even here for our legacy. And when I see those grandparents and all their grandchildren, it's this sense of, what am I building towards, or what am I leaving behind? And it's even more than that, even though in those photos, you see a lot of love. But I don't know, those are really great questions to ponder.
Well, yesterday on the program, I talked about a little bit of the conversation that we had about a week ago. You went away on Saturday. You went out to do something.
I don't remember.
You went
2 hours ago.
You did something, some women's thing or whatever, a conference, shopping, blah, blah, blah. And
impactful.
It was so impactful.
I can't remember.
But I stayed home and prayed. And when you came home, I said,
oh, we went skiing.
Oh, is that what you did?
Yeah, I took all the kids and we did SNS, ski and skip. We skipped school or skip and ski.
Was it Friday then? Was it Friday? I think it was Saturday. Okay, well, you're not skipping school if it was Saturday.
It was a day where I remember you were home by yourself for a long time. It was the day we skipped and went skiing.
Okay. Well, I lied on the program then. I thought it was Saturday.
Okay. Could have been another thing that we did.
No, whatever the case, it was, I had time that was free. I had a lot of freedom. And I had that sense of really exploring what am I supposed to do in the right now moment of my life. And I didn't name it like St. Elizabeth of the Trinity, but I named it as the call to be holy was the more prominent thing rather than the call to try to build more in my career. Remember, we were talking a lot about, you know, we're going to build out this podcast and this video cast and this real estate work and all of this other stuff to provide and had a missionary component to it. And what I really felt the Lord was saying to me was, you're only going to bear fruit on mission if you're holy. So strip down and focus on holiness right now. So it's similar to love, right? Because you only grow in holiness by growing in the union of love with the Lord. But anyways, that was what it reminded me of.
Oh, that makes sense. I see where you're going with that.
Yeah.
So I was wondering when we were gone for that entire day, I thought, what is Tom doing?
He's probably my whiteboards out
trying to figure out what to do. And when we came home and the whole kitchen was clean and the house was all picked up, I thought, oh, he really missed us. That was great.
I did that as an act of love.
Was that an act of service for my birthday? Was.
I just thought you guys are going to come home. You're going to be tired and you had stuff you had to do. And I thought, you know, let me clean the house and you'll feel really good for that.
I did.
Well, we haven't had a chance to really discuss your birthday since you were last on.
No, I was on for so much, and then I took this huge break, or you were able to figure out the program without me, which is a gift. I felt like you had a lot of momentum and grace, and it was great to see you just crank out your shows. So I was like, thank you, Lord. I'll just move in another direction here. The birthday was wonderful. I think what really showed up is how much you actually took the time and called our children and had them all write me notes or letters and organize a Zoom time so we could all be together. And it really showed up. I think, you know, most people, I feel at this age, we could basically buy anything we wanted or needed. So gifts aren't even a thing. And I think you did buy me a few gifts and they got returned.
I worked hard, and you brought back like almost every gift I bought. I can't even believe it. Even though I sent Liliana to interview you and to come up with the list
just
of gifts.
It's not your gift. Gift giving is not your gift. It's okay. But just the time that one spends making an effort. My brother's birthday is on Sunday and he lives in another city. And I tried for an hour to send him a gift. I've never used Uber Eats or what's it called?
DoorDash.
And my daughter for my birthday loaded like 10 apps on my phone so we could go around and get freebies on your birthday. So all these different places want to draw you in and get you to sign up. And they'll promise you something free if you download their app. And I ended up with Krispy Kreme. And they have these beautiful St. Patrick's Day painted donuts, whatnot. I was like, I'm going to send him some donuts for him and his class, his students. He's a teacher at an all-girls school called Notre Dame in California in what I thought was San Jose. But after I went to send them, I called the school and they're like, there's no Patrick DeLorenzo that works here. So I spent another half hour trying to figure out where the school is. There was another Notre Dame in Belmont, not more than 40 minutes from there, all-girls school. He doesn't work there either. I was like, how many schools are in this area? I finally called my mom and she says, he's in Salinas. And I said, okay. Anyhow, just to say the effort I put into sending him donuts, which actually never got there because I just gave up after an hour of trying to do this dumb DoorDash, is meaningful. It has like, as people send us stuff, flowers or treats, or you go out of your way to bring somebody something. It has a lot of meaning. It really is impactful. And so just the time you spent to try to organize all of that with the kids, and that that's all I really want. I think that's all that people really want. It's like, do you take time to stop and create and put together something where you are thinking of me in a way that is trying to show love? I don't think that it's a high bar. Don't need to cooking pots.
Here's what I'm going to say. That you just described really well and beautifully. You testified to the language, the love language of acts of service. Because you talked about the amount of time and energy that put into this, and that's what showed up.
So you think that love is just my love language?
Yeah.
Like, it really spoke to me. Because my love language is actually fixing things.
Which is another form
Not
of
words of
service.
Affirmation. They know you had them all write me words of affirmation. But which is your love language.
I know, but it took time and energy and effort, and it took some focus and attention. It took all of that. So, but you didn't see that part of it.
Did you want to share it right now so we could all
affirm
you?
I don't know. I think it was beautiful. And I know how memorable and impactful words are when you write, you know, a card that's more than just happy birthday, mom, I love you, but it was thoughtfully done. And it showed, again, all of that effort. So it was interesting because what you described was the gift wasn't just about the gift. It wasn't gift giving.
It wasn't
it was
the gift
the
at
effort
all.
That went into the gift. It was the effort. That's that act of service.
I'm going to fight you on this because it's more than service.
We'll have to fight during the break because we're out of time right now. We'll be back in a minute.
Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in Eastern Washington and Northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out. DrTomCurran.com, DrTomCurran.com.
Welcome back to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. I'm with my wife, Carrie. And it's Faith and Family Friday. We're talking about different things in terms of Lent. And Carrie, you're talking about your birthday. One of the things that we did on your birthday itself was that you and I went to Mass. And I know before the program when we were talking, and you just referenced it now, was... You know what? To be able to get to Mass, it took some time and effort. It took, let's make sure we don't miss this. And that's something that has been a family custom or a family tradition that we have. I think we've been able to instill so that it can be kind of a no-brainer, right, in the family. It's like, oh, well, no, and on your birthday, you go to Mass. It's just one of the things you do. It's like you have a birthday cake, you have gifts, and you go to Mass. To be able to establish it like that, might be a little overstated, but it's pretty close.
Yeah, I think what was really interesting about my birthday is I woke up, two girls were at a tournament. They left at 6:30, 7 in the morning. And if you've ever been to a volleyball tournament or not been, it's all day long. Sometimes it's all weekend long. Like next weekend, it's the Pacific Northwest
PNQ
qualifier. People come from California, Texas, Idaho, Montana, all over the North, pretty much all over the country to qualify for the nationals. And there must be about 400, 600 teams here.
A lot.
It's like 80 courts. It's crazy. Anyhow, I'll make sure to get that straight after we go to it. But the tournaments are very exhausting. So we sent the girls with some other people. And then, one of our other daughters had a special sleepover night with a birthday girl, and you had left to go out to work out and do something else that morning. And I was by myself, and it was like so odd to just like, I felt like we were moving into another part of our life where we could wake up in the morning and it's just you and me, and that won't be very odd. But this was one of the first times it happened, and it just happened to be on my birthday. And I thought it was a good thing. Like I really enjoyed the time for reflection of what has my life become and where am I headed, and not having anyone here really made it like a space of reflection and quiet. So
Yeah, it wasn't just like an imagination, imaginary exercise. Oh, one day I'll be in the house by myself. No, on your birthday, you're there, birthday morning by yourself. Not having a birthday breakfast with the family, celebrating all the kids.
And I think that is one of our key traditions, is a huge birthday breakfast, and that didn't happen. Anyhow, it was fine. It was a great birthday, Tom. You did an awesome job. You get out of 10, I'll give you an 8.9.
Wow. That's like on a roll. Yes. The Dean's List. This is great.
Instead of all those awesome pots and pans and the vacuum cleaner you bought me, and you also bought me a stuff to clean my car and your car and a trip. I am ready to go somewhere. It's been 3 years since we've gotten away, and I think I'm ready to get out of Dodge.
All right. So why don't we dive into the next theme on our list, which is movies.
All right. Film.
So, film. Yeah, our movies. Is a movies? The theme is movies. Okay. So we've been recommending films during the course of this Lenten season. If you're going to spend time in front of the TV, use it wisely. Use it differently. And so the movie that I think the most important movie that we're going to recommend or highlight as a positive for you to watch with your kids is?
The Trouble with Angels?
The Trouble with Angels.
Okay, it's just Trouble with Angels.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. It's a coming-of-age story, and these two girls, Mary Clancy and Rachel Devery, they're somewhat orphaned, are sent to an all-girls school called St. Francis Academy, run by nuns. And they, during the time there, are both don't really want to be there and are pretty much pranksters. They cause a lot of funny interactions with the other students and the mother superior, because they're just kind of pushing back against the rigorous
and every rule,
the rigorous span of a Catholic boarding school. And they're there for 3 years. Some of their pranks are like, they set off fire alarms because they're smoking cigarettes or cigars in the basement. Super cute. They put bubbles in the nuns' little sugar bowls, and bubbles go over. Just cute things. But what's so darling about this movie, not only is it just really clean and darling, it also puts into light what the convent or what that space should have been used for, with girls that are trying to figure out identity. What is my mission? What is my purpose? It does such a good job of having in this one actress, her name's Haley Mills. She was in Pollyanna, and what's the movie where the twins?
Oh, Parent Trap.
Yes. Is this where she was in Parent Trap and then this one? Lost my train of thought, but it's where she comes to a sense of what is my call and what is my purpose. And it slowly is revealed over the course of these 3 years, as the pranks become less serious or less focused, and it's more her starting to question, where do I belong and who am I? Because she's somewhat of an orphaned girl. She's sent there by her uncle, and you can tell she's been troubled and she's had a hard past, and she's been left without someone to really love her and pour into her. And she's just mesmerized by these nuns.
Slowly. That's what I like about the movie, is that there are these little glimpses. Like, you think that the movie's a comedy, right? Where the staid, formal, even mean mother superior and the other nuns are on one side.
They're definitely the authority figure.
Yeah. They're very formal and they're very disciplined in their approach to the girls, black and white, literally. Right. And so as the movie unfolds, you start to get these little glimpses. They just get tossed in there, of the girl encountering the sisters at prayer, the girl encountering the sister on a walk and praying in front of the Blessed Mother at a grotto, the nuns interacting with the seniors, the senior nursing home of the elderly women. And you get these little like peek behind the curtain and see into the hearts and the lives of these nuns. And this teenager who's doing this acting, she does this really neat job of Like all of a sudden she stopped and she's looking. And the first time she does it, it's like you think that she's like despising it, despising them. And then it's she's curious and questioning. And then you don't know what, but she's drawn to it. And then there's the big ta-da at the end.
The thing that drew us to the movie is you mentioned comedy. Because it starts out with a lot of different pranks, your young children or teenagers can easily be drawn into this movie because it is fun and cute and honors the church.
And they're a little bit rebellious.
Yeah. We can all put ourselves in those shoes. No, not all of us, just me. But a couple of different times in the movie, I cried because you could see the transformation of her heart and the witness of the nuns. Like when one of the nuns dies and she sees the sisterhood of these nuns that all love each other. And she sees that they really see each other as family and she longs to belong. And another point in the movie where the Mother Superior stays up really late and does a heroic act of service to help this one of her best friend make a dress. Anyhow, Trouble with Angels, super cute, highly recommend. It's not a typical saint movie for Lent, but just something on the light side of spring and the warm weather. Thank you, Jesus. It's warm this week. The sun is coming out and it just will delight all of you, all of your hearts as you watch it.
Yeah. And we didn't give away the big ta-da at the end. That's good. I'm glad we didn't.
I'm pretty sure most adults that listen have, I've imagined they've all seen this movie. It's popular. You've seen it on in the background, but you've actually never sat down.
I never sat down and watched the movie the beginning to end.
And then Tom, cool. At 9:30, 10:30 at night, and our kids all go to bed. Why? Oh, because they had the tournament the next week. It was Friday night. They had the tournament the next morning, so they had to go to bed really early. But here we are watching this movie together. And again, it's a new phase in life where we were up later than our kids because they had to be about many busy things the next day. So it's cute.
Well, and the funny thing was we were watching it because of the program, because of the show.
It was a great excuse to have my husband watch a movie I actually wanted to watch instead of shoot him up. Shoot them down. Oh, wait, let's talk about the movie you really wanted to watch.
All right. Now, here's the thing. Okay, you go on social media. Hold on. You go on social media these days. And if you said the word film and you say, you know, Catholics talking about films right now, there are two movies that pop right out, too. And the first one is the Mother Cabrini movie, Cabrini. And the other one is Dune 2. And it's like the first movie, Cabrini, and we'll talk about that next, it was like poking a bear. I mean, you have people, it was almost like a fist fight online. I mean, this brawl. We didn't even see the movie, but just to say, you have people that were like, this is amazing, a tearjerker, and let's go. Finally, a movie that gets into the life of this courageous woman and saint and all of that. And then on the other side, there was a radical critique, and the critique took two forms. The principal critique was from the standpoint of faith. It didn't emphasize Mother Cabrini's faith, and it didn't emphasize, it didn't show her at prayer. It didn't show her seeing her mission in relationship to her love of the Lord, but it was more almost like an upholding of a woman and a feminist woman power, and men in the church are bad and holding her back. The other critique was from the specialists who were saying this is just a terrible movie in terms of its technical aspects or the arc of the plot or the screenplay and those sorts of things. So it made me lose its appeal, where I was excited to want to go see the movie, but then reading all of these critiques, and then listening to some of the folks who maybe I knew, you know, personally knew, and what they had to say about it, it was, oh, well, I don't feel the same impetus to see it.
It feels as if everyone was really happy they made a movie about a saint and they were content with that, but their expectations were so low that there'd be an actual movie out there on faith, that Cabrini didn't have to jump very far or go very high to meet their expectations. I think when we actually read about the critique of the movie and what was missing, and people actually point out the just lack of spirituality and how she was empowered to do all these things, then you as a faith-filled person think, yeah, it was actually lacking in a lot of different ways. And it almost makes you sad. I just was amazed at the enthusiasm that some of these influencers had, as if they were getting paid or something. And I was also a little bothered by the amount of advertising that continued to show up in my my scrolling. I just felt like, I felt 4 or 5 times a day, I would see, go see Cabrini, Cabrini, quickly. The tickets are selling out. You have to go see it. And I don't like to be told what to do. It's just in my temperament.
Will you finish up, please?
I'm done.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, and what was a hint of embarrassment to us was we dropped off our girls to babysit the little kids of a beautiful young Catholic couple so they could go to the movies and we could go to the movies. And they went off to Cabrini and we went off to Dune.
And we made the better choice.
Well, but here's the thing. Among all of those folks that were writing about Cabrini and then also wrote about Dune, it was, I couldn't find one negative. It was unanimous. Dune was spectacular, incredible. It's the new Star Wars. It's going to change cinema.
Revolutionize movies and screenplay.
Over the top. Amazing, 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 right? And I had seen the first one. I had seen the old one. But I had also read, I don't know how many volumes are in the Dune series. I think I stopped after the fifth or sixth volume. These are long books because it just got really repetitive. But the first volume was, you know, quite a read, an amazing book. So I was ready for an incredible movie based on this. And I think this is one of those instances where the idea that you don't watch trailers and you don't pay a lot of attention to folks who are lionizing a movie, because I thought it was a really good movie. It had a lot of compelling features to it, but I was a little surprised that everyone was so universally positive about the movie.
So in this instance, the bar was raised so high that you were unable to climb over it.
I was left a little disappointed. And not only that, I was more even a bit shocked that the disturbing, evil, dark displays of the killing. It wasn't just violence. The ways they portrayed violence were horrific. And we're running up against a break, Harry, so we'll keep talking about this. But I was really surprised at that. Okay, back in a minute. All right, welcome back to the program. So, Carrie, finishing up Dune, we had watched the first movie thinking that, oh, our kids might be able to enjoy the second one, 15, 13, and 11. And I had watched the first one, so when we were watching it again with them, I had the 11-year-old with me, and she had a blanket. So I could tell her, put the blanket over your head. And I could tell the other girls, close your eyes.
This movie and movies in general are really important to Tom, and he loves to share them with his kids. Now that his teenage boys,
yes,
and older young adult girls have gone off to college, he's desperately looking for movie partners. So if you're out there and you like to see movies, text Tom at, I'm just kidding.
Fair enough. So, but it was such a big phenomenon, and one of Annalise's friends had seen it with her family, Dune 2. So,
or so she thought. I'm not sure.
And no, she did. She saw it with her family. And the idea was, because she referenced a scene that happened. So she definitely saw the movie. And the scene she referenced that was disturbing to her was so minor compared to the disturbing elements that I saw.
Well, I think as you get older in watching movies, we get less and less struck by the violence.
Yeah, sensitized.
We're more desensitized in the sexuality and the profanity. And I think this is our whole culture. This, we're all just going to hell in a handbasket. But the movie was incredible and it went quickly. You did not want to miss a moment. The storytelling was excellent. What Cabrini lacked, this movie had. As far as spirituality, it was very spiritual. It was all about prophetic word and the one and the
dimension of the invisible and spiritual power and influence and those sorts of things, prophets and witches. And
it was all about the supernatural, yeah. Whereas Cabrini missed that, which I don't know how that happened. And this had amazing beginning, middle, end plot, bad guy, good guy, just had great character development, incredible acting. I love Timothy Chalamet in this movie. I do not like, and I have never liked, and I don't know why, Zendaya. I think just because her name's Zendaya. She doesn't even have a last name. Like, what the heck? This tells you all you need to know about this girl. I think she's all that. I just don't like her. And how she shows up. But she did a great job. The whole story was incredibly entertaining. And except for just this kind of crazy parts of the evil, one of the evil brothers, that took just evil and darkness to a different level. Just took it to a different level.
Well, and I just think we're desensitized to some of the scenes, like the Duke that is really fat and kind of floats in the air, right? That guy. Some of those images could haunt our kids' dreams.
Who's the big fat creature in Star Wars?
Jabba the Hutt?
Yes.
Thought of that. I never thought of him as
creeped out by Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah, there you go.
As a kid.
There's they've done a far better job.
Far better music. The music
the haunting,
is haunting.
And the scenery, the sets, right? All of the CGI mm-hmm. that they can incorporate into this. The way that can infiltrate kids is something that I don't think we appreciate so much. So I would say this, you and I went in part so that we could see if we could take them. And when we came out of the movie, it was, there's no way they're going to see this movie, including our 15-year-old daughter.
I think what's so disturbing about the movie, or what you have to guard against, is it's very spiritual. And a lot of times during the movie, I was thinking about our own Savior, our King. I was thinking about heaven. I was thinking about mission, purpose. There is a way in which this movie dislodged me from the actual movie into, well, who is our Savior? And who is our chosen one? And what did he do to redeem the world? Right. Which is incredible. It was a beautiful foil, because just what God would come and sacrifice his own son in the brutal way that he was sacrificed. But that level of introspection was not something I thought my kids were ready for yet. But I don't know. I just would rather be on the safe side.
Yeah. Yeah. That is definitely the theme of the movie, that Paul Atreides is the Messiah, the one. And is he going to realize it? And what about his mom? And what about the people and all of that? So Dune, if you're going to see it, you heard our little provisos, just beware for yourself, even as an adult, but then be discerning about what your kids would be exposed to. So I just want to put both those practices in front of you, is that, seek the guidance of sources, from trusted sources, watch it yourself. And then if need be, watch it with your kids so that you have a sense of, oh, there's a scene coming up. And we'll still get that from our kids that are away at Steubenville. When they're watching a movie, I'll say, hello. And they're like, yeah, Dad, we know when the scenes are. We'll fast forward through those. Now, whether they're just giving me text lip service or whether they're actually doing it, I'm glad they at least have that sensitivity.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a great, entertaining 3 hours, 2 hours, however long it lasted. It was a long movie.
Yes. Okay. So food. Is that our next section?
Oh, is it?
I'm ready to eat.
Who's in charge? Who's running this thing? I thought I could talk about a food I stumbled upon that we've been purchasing lately. But in previous years, and I figured out a great hack for it. So it's called uncooked tortillas. from Costco, of course, my favorite store, because you get great deals. And in the refrigeration section is where these tacos are. I think they do, I took a screenshot, I think it's by Mission, but you get tortillas that have not been cooked, so they're really fresh. And when you cook them in a pan, they just crisp up nicely, and it just is an added extra for when you make cheese quesadillas or whatnot for Friday and Lent. They're called Tortilla Land. Are they by Mission? Just called soft taco and uncooks in 60 seconds. It's uncooked. Well, this is the hack. Love it. We've been buying beignet mix as a thing since we did Disneyland 8 years ago, because they are so fun to put in hot oil and have rice. So you get beignet mix from New Orleans. I don't think I can get it anywhere else, or you can make it. Seen that video?
You can get it online.
Well, we get it online from New Orleans. It's a very specific brand. Anyhow, we've been doing a little bit more donut making and deep frying. I think it's partly because we gave up sweets during Lent. So my kids are kind of scouring the cupboards and trying to find something that they can put sugar on. Anyhow, we took these uncooked tortillas, sliced them up, and threw them in the hot oil, and they cook up or crisp up in about 20 seconds each side. You put a bunch in, throw them on a paper towel, and then our kids were putting powdered sugar or cinnamon and sugar.
Wait a minute. When I came home and there was that plate and it had those like three puffy.
Yes.
It was that?
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
Did you like that?
I was like, how did you make these? Were these like some kind of pastry that was frozen? And I had no idea.
Yeah. So you get 60 of them and they do go bad because they are fresh. You have to put, if you're not going to eat all 60 in 2 weeks, you need to put them in the freezer, but you can defrost them and cook them in hot oil or tortillas, whatever. But then we thought we could make them in shapes. You can do like cookie cutters because they're all super thin dough. Or you could smash them together and double the size of your fried donut. We were having all sorts of fun. I'm just saying, if you have hot oil and your kids would love, or grandkids would love to see them crisp up, you turn them over with a little tong and they're right out of the fryer, hot, crispy, sugary. It's so great. I'm so glad this is a Friday in Lent.
Yesterday I was working and you had the kids had some of their friends from school over and you were just being the mom, like, it was like a carnival in the kitchen and like, come on, let's make these little donut things. I'm like, what are they doing in there?
We had like six kids and everyone was super hungry. I don't know if your kids are super hungry when they get home. And even though it's Lent and some of them have given up dessert, I just had to make these for them because it was just so fun. They're fun to make. It's fun to see
them.
What
are you making them for yourself or for them?
I think I had one. I wasn't really.
No, I didn't mean it like that. That's just the joy of
just the joy
making
of making
them
something
and,
fun
and making something that they enjoy.
Yeah, no, the whole process of making donuts and crisping them in a oil or in a fryer or in a pan of oil is actually delightful. That's how I had to call the fire department when I was in college at Franciscan. We were making donuts and the oil got too hot. Yeah. If it gets too hot, it can catch on fire. There's something in it that caught on fire. So I just kind of blanked and I knew you couldn't throw water on it to put it out. But I forgot to put a lid on it to keep the oxygen. So I tried to take the hot oil pan and put it in the sink to get it off the flame. And when I moved it, the oxygen grabbed the flame and the movement caused the flame to triple. And it burned I got second and third degree burns on my hand. And I ended up throwing it back onto the stove because I couldn't even get it to the sink. And this flame went whoosh and caught the whole curtain on fire. Oh my goodness. We ended up calling the fire department. And it's quite a funny story. And I ended up not being able to play for the full soccer season because I had third degree burns on my hand. And I don't know. It's just a long story. But when we went to see Dune 2, they have all these dumb little videos ahead of time that were making me dizzy. And one of them was the fire department had to show you how to put out an oil fire. And I thought, oh, I wish I would have watched that 35 years ago. It'd been really helpful.
That's awesome. All right, we'll be back in a minute with more of the program. Welcome back to the program. So, Carrie, let's link food and finances really quick here, because I enjoyed the hack that you came up with. You heard it on the Bill O'Reilly podcast?
Yes, he does Smart Life and gives you little tips for life.
So what was his tip?
Well, I think what's important to say is a lot of people are talking about finances and how the economy continues to, inflation continues to go up. and things continue to cost a lot. And really noticing it when we go out to eat, prices have risen 30% since 2019. And we've definitely noticed it, whether it's fast food or not. So one of the tips was, and this is something we do, we never order pop or drinks. We just have water. Now, that's not probably a really insightful tip, but especially if you're going to order like drinks, he's like, just have a glass of wine before you go or when you get home. The other tip he gave is don't order dessert. Desserts can add up quickly unless it's a great place that makes wonderful desserts. One of the things I tell the kids is we don't order ice cream or go out for ice cream because it's the easiest thing to make. You don't make it, you just dish it into a bowl. And yet they charge like 3 times what it costs or 5 times. So I don't mind ordering a dessert that's fancy, that takes a lot of time. That's a souffle or that's
homemade, fresh there.
When they have a cobbler or the berries or the peach, whatever. But ice cream, those real easy desserts that you can get on the way home is just.
And I like that. That's one of the things that we will say pretty regularly when they'll say, let's go out and get an ice cream at this specialty ice cream shop.
Like
and
a Froyo.
Or yeah, yeah. Or a, what's the other place?
Cold Stone.
Cold Stone.
Creamery.
And you know, one ice cream is $7 for a cup of ice cream.
But Cold Stone is amazing.
Okay. So
it's amazing.
On However, the other hand, you can get two individual pints of ice cream for less than that.
Yes.
And my kids, let's just do that and you'll have more ice cream and we can eat it in the peace of our own home and blah, blah, blah.
I think it just takes planning. We went out to see Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat. It was put on by the CYT. I think it's Church Youth Theater.
Christian Youth Theater.
Christian Youth Theater. That's what it is. And afterwards, I grabbed Liliana. We ran over to the Davenport and we had a cheesecake, like a slice. And I'm thinking I could have gotten a whole cheesecake at Costco, which would have lasted us a month for the same price. But it was a delightful environment. It was the timing. It was special.
Yeah.
But had I thought a little bit about it, I probably would have just grabbed some ice cream on the way home and had all the girls be able to share in it since they all couldn't go with us to this theater play. So,
yeah. And I think that those are just some practical things. One of the things that he didn't mention that we do is there'll be kids menus. And oftentimes the waiter or the waitress doesn't really care that much. Like, let me see your ID. Are you really 12? And I'm like, well, no, I just turned 13.
So, you have never ordered off a kid's menu.
I know. Well, I'm just saying.
We do have a lot of little kids, or they're 13, 14, 15. And I will say, can they order from the kid's menu, even though they're 14? I don't try to hide it or to deceive, but I also don't want to be dishonoring. So I just put it out there. But sometimes I'll say, no, don't order from the kid's menu because the entrees that you're paying for the adult size is a lot better per dollar and just share. So instead of each person get a kid's menu item, why don't you just share an entree?
Yeah.
And that usually works. The other thing that he said was he doesn't order an entree, which can be $40 or $50. And I'm not exaggerating, guys, at a decent restaurant. So he will order 2 appetizers instead, which sometimes appetizers are sometimes they just don't feel as healthy. I don't know. It's like it's calamari or it's deep fried this or it's, I don't know, hummus. Sometimes it just doesn't feel as much a meal.
Well, it's less of a meal because you're only getting that one thing in multiple instances versus, oh, here's your meat, here's your vegetable, here's your other vegetable,
okay,
right, and a salad. So
eat before you go out to eat. It's when like you get there.
Eat before you shop, right? Eat
when you
before
get there,
you shop for food.
Just have a salad. Oh, that's not the point of going out to eat. I do remember thinking I'd rather one lady, she just feeds all her kids before they go out to eat. And then her and her husband have a meal and then they all get to order dessert.
Oh, wow.
It was this is a while back. Huh. This mom was trying to figure out a way to include them. They didn't have a babysitter, but they didn't want to pay for everything. I don't know.
There are restaurants where kids eat for free. And Liliana will say to me, Dad, how come we don't go to that Italian restaurant? Every day between 3 and 7, kids eat for free. But you know, the parents have to order whatever. So
the other option is just to order out and take it home. But I do notice, and this is a thing you need to be aware of. If you're ordering on, what was that?
DoorDash
through an app, the items on the app are more expensive than when you actually go into the restaurant.
Oh, wow.
So you have to be mindful that they already mark up food on DoorDash 10 to 20% sometimes. And then you have to add the tip, the service fee, the blah, blah, blah. So it's a lot better to just, if you're going to order, instead of ordering on the app, you can actually go into the restaurant and see it. And this was mentioned to me on Clark Howard. He's like, saves your money, whatever. So if you're ordering takeout, go in and do it that way versus online. It's the price can change because now all these services, deliveries are taking from the restaurant, taking from the service workers. And so instead of giving it, passing it on to them, not that I'm, you know, tip, that's great, but just be mindful.
All right. So this Sunday is St. Patrick's feast day.
Yes.
And I don't know, does that roll over to Monday? And so we don't have to follow our Lenten obligations.
Tuesday, St. Joseph's.
There you go. Solemnity.
That's the solemnity. So I know we have some things going on this weekend. I was listening to a great podcast. You guys know I like John Mark Comer, and he does the rule of life, and he follows the Benedictine rule of life, which is simplicity, solitude, prayer, fasting, Sabbath. What's another? I'm missing.
It's an order of life.
Yeah. And we, in the past, this is why I'm bringing this up. In the past, we put our phones in a gun safe. So on Sunday, Sabbath, they do Sabbath. The Protestants do Sabbath Friday night. The Saturday night, like the Jewish people do.
Well, that's what he's doing.
That's what he does. And it might be because maybe as a pastor, he was working on Sundays. Yeah, I'm not sure.
That's what I would say.
But I just wanted to implement this thing where there's a way in which if my phone is out or our devices are out, the kids go on them, I go on them. And I said to Tom, why can't we just get rid of them? And he mentioned they put them in a black box and they just lock them up and they're gone for 24 hours. And kind of everybody in their circle knows that. So if they have to be gotten a hold of or whatnot, there's, I don't know if they have a landline or whatnot. And I just thought, what a great visual that we're locking up a phone, which is somewhat of a danger, just like you lock up a gun, which is, you keep it safe because it could be a dangerous, if not used properly, it could cause great harm. A phone not used properly does cause great harm. So just this whole visual of putting our phones in a gun safe over Sabbath. So this Sunday, St. Patrick's Day, we're doing the St. Patrick's Day dinner. I just want to start implementing that as a way to honor the Sabbath. What do you think? What say you? Do you have a problem with that?
It's kind of hard for me to disagree with that on the radio.
Can you just like not do real estate on Sunday? Like we're all done with this. Just do what Chick-fil-A does. Not open Sundays.
Nice.
That can be your tagline.
There's nothing stopping me from doing that. Nothing except my servant mentality where I want to be always available.
Wife is first.
How about the Lord is first?
The Lord, but I'm saying I'm the one. Yes, the Lord is first.
I mean, I can certainly honor you.
Is helping you discern what the Lord is telling you.
And so I remember my spiritual director would say that the Sabbath is 24 hours. So if we were to say Saturday
5 o'clock,
5 o'clock to Sunday at 5.
Great.
Yeah. I don't know what would stop me from being able to do that. I don't think, honestly, it would be that hard for me to give up my phone for 24 hours. It would be, is the TV turned off? Do we turn off all the...
Unplug the Wi-Fi.
So there's just no access to any of that. The one thing that would make that a little hard for the kids is that on the Lord's Day, they get the freedom to be free from some of their Lenten obligations. And so they wouldn't be accessing anything on the...
We have great Saint movies. They're all lined up, ready to go.
But those would be now watched on a VHS tape.
That's so, all right. Yeah, no, I'm saying they could watch it on the TV.
If it's paused. We pause the access.
I don't think we need TV on Sunday.
Not that big a deal.
It's not a big deal at all. It's like, what are we doing? Anyhow, I just love this idea of entering into, we're more than halfway through Lent and just taking some more proactive actions. I think the reason that some of these things don't get implemented is that kind of the pattern or the planning, the implementation part of it is half the work. Is you have to think through now, what's this going to look like? How do you communicate out to your clients? How do you communicate out to your family? How do you take a stand and then hold it? How do you communicate out to your children who will push back or your spouse will push back? I don't know. I think,
certainly worth looking at, especially before March Madness gets here. And then the Lord understands, the Lord understands that, I'm just kidding. All right. Well, Carrie, we are actually running out of time. And so just in the last 15 seconds, want to encourage you all to not settle for less than God's best this Lent, whether it's in your faith, family, finances, fellowship, food, or what was the other one?
Films. Some F word.
All right. Finish strong, my brothers and sisters. All right. God bless you all. Join me on Monday.